Today we are going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 16, 25-27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept a secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God, glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate that, brother. Well, this morning, if you're here for the very first time, you're here for the last message in the book of Romans. But we're glad you're here. And what we do here at Grace Bible Church pretty regularly is go through books of the Bible together. Next Sunday, we'll have an Advent series as we work through the 12 days of Christmas. Obviously, the story is always the same. The Christmas story is always the same. But each year, we try to put something together that is a different angle as we're looking at that same story that never gets old. And the goodness of God when it comes to that. But this week, as you'll be heading to wherever, I don't know what it'll look like you for Thanksgiving. I hope you're able to be at a comfy place on this Thursday and be able to spend some time with those that you love and to give thanks to the Lord. That is a sign of obedience to Him. He is worthy of our thankfulness. Well, we come to this last three verses here that Zach read for us this morning, and we're at what is called a doxology. Doxa meaning praise, logos meaning word of praise. And when I was growing up going to my Baptist church, we would sing the doxology every Sunday, usually after the service, and it went like this, and please join with me if you know it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a response. It's a way of saying to God, thank you. And the goodness of God should always lead to praise. You think about that story, and the Bible is packed with stories. And you think that about that scene, if I could take you to that scene right now, where God got the children of Israel through the Red Sea. The Red Sea is parted, and these millions of people make their way through the Red Sea to get away from that Egyptian army. And then the waters collapse in on that Egyptian army that thought that they could go and get the children of Israel. Do you remember what happened the next chapter? Miriam leads these millions of Jews in praise and in dancing and so grateful for what God has done. This is what happens when we see the goodness of God. When something good happens, our biblical response is a response of praise. That the goodness of God. And so that's when Pastor Jason was encouraging us to be thankful this morning, as the worship team was encouraging us to be thankful. It's not thankfulness based on, I got nothing better to do. But God's been good. And as a result of that, we thank Him, we praise Him. So let's talk to the Lord as we're starting out here tonight, today. Thank you, God, so much for your goodness, that goodness that runs after us. We don't deserve it. We're floored by it. That's what makes grace amazing. We didn't do anything, and yet you showed up and you've saved us and then you're into this relationship. We've given you every reason to break up with us, and you're into this relationship. You're into it over the long haul. And so, thank you, God. And I ask you, God, as we're looking at these three verses, that as a result of our time together, we could draw from it exactly what you'd want for us to hear. So thank you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. So after all this theology, and we've got a load of it when we've worked through this book of Romans, we even have in the few verses before this, he tells us we're going to get to crush Satan's head. We're going to be able to win as a result. And it's not because we're so great, but because in Christ, he had promised that in Genesis 3:15, the first spot at the fall of man. And what's God going to do? He isn't wringing his hands. He actually knows what he's going to do. He's going to have his son come as Messiah, and he'll crush the head of Satan. And that's good news. And so as we're working through this together, you've got a spot for notes in the back of your bulletin there. You can write in there, God's power, point number one, God's power to establish his work. God's power to establish his work. Look at that first verse there in verse 25, the first part of it. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. So God is able, the word there is dunamis, that his gives us the power. God is able to strengthen in keeping with the gospel that Paul preaches, which is indeed the proclamation of Jesus Christ. That's what is the good news. Jesus shows up. It's not just, oh, my faith or a higher power. There's an individual that showed up on the scene. He split the calendar in half. Don't you love that? When people write their dates on... Do anybody write checks anymore? You write checks sometimes. We put them... Okay, no. Okay. Well, there's this thing called a calendar. And you have to write on the top of a check. You got to write down a date. And every time a date is written down, there's an acknowledgement that there was an individual that showed up about 2,022 years ago. It's a testimony of the greatness of God in providing his son. He split the calendar in half. And this Greek word here, prop, this proclamation that he's holding up. Something is, when something gets props, it's like, look at it. It's up there. Or a prop is something is holding something up. And look at this, and we're going to go all the way back to the first chapter of Romans. Look at what the gospel is. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed. He's not embarrassed about this. He's honored in it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why is that the case? Because he knows that's the dunamis. That's the power. That's the dynamite. The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, this is the gospel, in it the righteousness of God is revealed. It's unveiled from faith to faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And so this good news of the fact that God saves us, God's done this amazing, gracious work on our behalf, it should lead us to this song of praise. It should make us go, wow, I didn't deserve this. Everything in me is sinful. Even if I'm the nicest guy, I know down deep what I'm like that I can keep from you. I can smile, I can act like everything's okay, but inside I know, oh, left to myself, I need a Savior. And so Jesus comes along. And so Paul is asserting that this same God's power for salvation that he talked about in the first chapter, he's talking about again. He hasn't stopped talking about it. And it's his gospel. And it's fitting that in closing, he's repeating how that message offers strength to those that call on the name of the Lord. I like that he calls it my gospel. It's personal to him. well, how many times, and we've talked about this before, how many times that I'll meet people, and the Cardinals always seem to do well. They're even after the catcher of my team. We got a good catcher, and somehow I know the Cardinals are going to end up with him. Okay. You slide Molina out, you get another good one. It's just how it works. They've got an amazing farm system, an amazing way of thing. I'm singing their praises. What am I doing? But what happens is, I'll talk to people and they go, if you guys win, which happens on a regular basis, you know we won. And I'm going, man, strange. I didn't see you out playing on that field. I didn't see you out there. But it's become personal for you. They're my Cardinals. It's my gospel. What is that? That's called a fan. You know where the word fan comes from? Fanatic. It's fanatical about something. And God, through this example in Paul, wants us to be fans of the gospel. He wants us to be fanatical about it. He wants us, we'll put on the jerseys, we'll put on the cap, we'll go to the game, we're there, we're excited. He wants you to have that even more for something eternal like this. We can't sidestep it. This is so good news that I want others to know about it. There's power in it. And God can guard us and keep us. I like this story that Kent Hughes says in his commentary in the book of Romans. He says this: God can establish us and make us strong and steadfast in any circumstance. That whole idea of steadfast, standing, not moving. That's what the gospel can do as we reach out to God, as we hold on to it. When he so chooses, he demonstrates that this in the physical realm as well. Years ago, when Ira Sankey was at the height of his ministry and traveling on a steamer in the Delaware River, I don't know if you knew this, Ira Sankey was the song leader for Dwight L. Moody when he'd do his great evangelistic preaching back in the 1800s. Years ago, he's traveling on a steamer in the Delaware River. He was recognized by some of the people on board. They had seen his picture in the newspaper and knew he was associated with evangelist D.L. Moody. When he was asked to sing one of his compositions, Sankey said he preferred the hymn by William Bradbury, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." He suggested that everyone should join in the singing. One of the stanzas begins, "We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way." Now listen to that. Be the guardian of our way. When he finished, a man stepped out of the shadows and inquired, "Were you in the army, Mr. Sankey?" "Yes, I joined up in 1860. "Did you ever do guard duty at night in Maryland about 1862? "Yes, I did." "Well, I was in the Confederate Army," said the stranger, "and I saw you one night at Sharpsburg. You were wearing your blue uniform, and I had you in my gun sight as you stood there in the light of the full moon. Then, just as I was about to pull the trigger, you began to sing." Sankey was astounded as he recalled the incident. "It was the same hymn you sung tonight," continued the man. "I couldn't shoot you. There is no doubt about it. God can make us stand firm under his protection." Point number two, it's not just that God's power is to establish his work, but God's purpose to establish his work. Look at the second part of verse 25. Let me read 25 again to you. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages." And so God has this empowering aid that is also in accord with the revelation of the mystery. Revelation is that unveiling that was kept secret for long ages. Paul has repeated or alluded to dozens of Old Testament passages. As we work through this together, we've been working on this book since Labor Day of last year. And you saw Old Testament passage after Old Testament passage. And Paul is lifting up the veil constantly and going, you know what that was talking about? That was talking about Jesus. That was talking about the gospel. And so he's saying to them, and this served, looking back, they having served as a revelation of that mystery. But it couldn't be deciphered until the fullness of time had come and Christ had completed his work. You know, that word mysterious would be understood by those that would read this letter. A mystery religion was a religion that you couldn't know the essence of what they believed unless you were part of the religion. The guy on the inside had to tell you from the outside looking in. You couldn't figure it out. It had to be revealed. And so when Paul uses that term, when he talks about a mystery, he's talking about the church and the fact that the death of Christ being offered to Jew and Gentile alike, to be fellow partakers, it just would blow their mind. They wouldn't understand how this could be the case. And so Paul calls it a mystery. He's not saying that in the Old Testament there were these things going on that had no rhyme or reason. These are just nice stories. No, it kept pointing at a person. And so you look at it and you go, well, does the Old Testament talk about the death of Messiah? I mean, if you talk to Jews, they don't, the idea of that, they're looking for a glorious Messiah. But in the Old Testament, it talks about the death of a Messiah. In Psalm 22 and in Isaiah 53. It also talks about the establishing of a kingdom. And you see that all throughout the Old Testament. And every now and then, somebody would get it. Paul gets it completely because God has revealed that to him. He gets saved. And all this Old Testament training, that's why. That's why God had that. That's why those things were rules in Leviticus. That's why that was in Deuteronomy. That's why all that. And the mystery starts to make sense. And Paul is just writing as fast as he can because it's hitting him. That's what it is. But every now and then you'll have a guy who shows up and they know what's going on. I don't know if you remember that scene, and it's actually a kind of a Christmas scene. Remember Jesus is born, and then mom and dad take him to the temple. Remember that? And he's a little baby. And there's a guy named Simeon that shows up. And God had promised him, you won't die until you see the Messiah. And he takes the baby in his arms and he's going, this baby. And he's talking about how great the baby is. And then he says, a sword will pierce. And Mary, who this is going to affect, doesn't even know what he's talking about. Mary had heard about these things, treasured them in her heart, but she didn't know the full extent. But Simeon is saying, I just so you know, hard days are coming for this chosen one of God. How many of you like mysteries? I love them. I just love them. I sit and watch Columbo. One more thing. Murder, She Wrote, Jessica Fletcher, Ruby Roo. Scooby-Doo. Right? Just always, what's going on with that mystery? Agatha Christie. See, the essence of a mystery novel, mystery show, is to keep you and I ignorant. It's to keep us in that ignorance. It keeps you seeing pieces. Kim and I were just watching. I love a lot of these new British ones. They're just so well, these British crime things where you're just sitting there and you're going, and there's a part that you want to figure it out ahead of time. You know, don't you love the guy? I knew it. Well, why don't you say it after the first episode? I was just keeping it back so you'd enjoy it. But did you have this situation where you keep seeing these pieces of it, and it's slowly but surely coming to you. Who killed that guy? Who killed him? And you're trying to figure it out. And what happens in the last episode, the last chapter, you could see it when a mystery is being put together. Everybody's gathered, usually in a tuxedo. All right? Usually how it plays out. And they're gathered together at some rich guy's house or something like that. And you're sitting there with your wife, and you're watching. Maybe your kid's there watching. You've been into this show. You've been watching the whole thing. And all of you got a different idea. And up stands this individual. I know who did it. And then all of a sudden, the guy who's guilty is, yeah, you're not going to get me. And he pulls out a gun. But there was somebody that pulled the bullets out of that gun beforehand. And then they beat him with a stick, and he's dead. That's the thing that moved you guys? Well, you read that, and what you start doing is, as you're reading, as you're watching, you're trying to put this thing together. And you couldn't put it together. It didn't make sense to you. And then finally, things finally came together, and you go, oh, that's it. And Columbo comes in and he explains what is going on. Or Jessica Fletcher. Or whoever does it on Scooby-Doo. All right. But you have this person that explains it. And as they're explaining it, you go, oh, I didn't notice that before. But now that I look back, well, that makes sense. And that's what happens. Or the magic eye. You ever do the magic eye? Those works of art that you and I look at, and it just doesn't. But you hold it close, and it, by the way, it never works for me. All right. But there's somebody. Oh, there it is. It's a pony. Don't you see it? Then they make you feel dumb. Don't you see it? Oh no, you're an idiot. You don't see it. I'm amazing. I see it. You don't see no pony. The beauty of the scriptures is this. There is clue after clue after clue that keeps showing up. And Paul shows up and says, you see it now? Oh, I see it. Paul puts together the Rubik's Cube and he goes, see it? It's not that hard. It's hard for me. It wasn't hard for God to put it together. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel is what was formerly a mystery. Why would he go through all that time, all those sacrifices, all those stories? And therefore, the gospel. So he points us to the person of Jesus Christ. So we go, he's it. He's the one. He's the one I look to. He's the one I rest in. He's the one I trust. In the Old Testament, if we were to somehow take somebody from the Old Testament times and bring them here, and we put them in a car, and they're like, this is an amazing thing, this thing called a car, and we're driving, and he drives past Grace Bible Church. He goes, that's where we worship. And he's a Old Testament Jew, but he has an understanding of Romans and execution. He goes, wait, that's where you worship? Yeah, that's where we worship. What, that thing on the side of the wall there, is that an instrument of execution? Isn't that a thing that like the Romans used to kill our people and their people and lots of people? Mm-hmm. Why would you put an instrument of execution on the side of a building? Oh, but for us, it's empty. See, the person of Jesus Christ came into the world. He's a Jew, by the way. He's a Jew. And he is God in flesh. And he had to die. He had to die? Yeah, he had to die. So that we could have salvation. And it isn't just for the Jews. It's for Gentiles. Oh, the Gentiles are included. Yeah. Wow, that's a mystery. Yeah. And it's been unveiled. And we have the goodness of God that we get to experience the good end of a story. That God in his grace reached down and saved us. Aren't you glad? Let's keep going. Verse 26. So he kept that secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed. And through the prophetic writings, that's the Old Testament. That's why we study the Old Testament. That's why in January, once again, we've been going back and forth. We've been doing New Testament and Old Testament. We're going to pick up the story of David again in 2 Samuel. So according to the revelation of mystery, has been kept secret for long ages, but now it's been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to, not just to Israel, but to all nations. According to the command of the eternal God. This is God's idea, and I'm going to include everybody in this. Everybody's invited to the party. To bring about the obedience of faith. So he says at the beginning there, but now the mystery is disclosed through those prophetic writings, that the Old Testament, that's why we look at it. It's been named known to all generations. That could be translated as to all the Gentiles. And this is in the keeping of the command of the eternal God. See, God's always been into this. God's always, he hasn't been, it's not a local tribal deity. It's not just for Israel. It's for everybody. That's why we have Jonah. That's why we have people showing up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. We have people showing up that aren't Jewish. Because that's God's way of going, hey, I'm just giving you a hint. This is what I'm doing. I'm inviting everybody. And I'm encouraging you today to invite everybody. Are you willing to share the good news of the gospel with somebody else because somebody did it so that you would know? No, I'm not that great at it. You're great at talking about what you love. So keep growing in love with him and talk about him because that's eternal. Last point, point number three, God's preeminence in establishing his work. Verse 27, to the only wise God. Don't you love that? He is the only wise God. He's really smart. This idea that he had, great idea, smart idea, wise idea. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. So be it. It's through that Father that the gospel was ultimately revealed. That's the goodness of God. Sometimes God the Father gets a bad rap. We've talked about that before. There's people, man, I love Jesus, but his dad, I don't know. Because his father was kind of the mean guy in the Old Testament. You know, it was the Father's idea to save us. The Father loves us. He's giving his son. You think about how loving that is. You ever have somebody hurt your kid? I mean, hurting you is one thing, but they hurt your kid. Oh, that's your kid. You love your kid. That's why I've done that list of things, you know, about dating your daughter. And you guys are like, you're more amening that than the word. Why? Because there's something else. We love our kids. And when somebody loves our kid and they show love to our kid, it just goes, it's like, wow, you love my kid. God loves when we love his son. God loves him. We think the world of his son. So So the wisdom of God, which is the gospel, is God's a brilliant idea, this thing called the gospel. It doesn't make sense to us. It's been a mystery for years, and finally it's unveiled. God, that was so smart. And I think even in glory, we're going to be blown away by it. I think in heaven, we're going to be, it's never going to get old like, yeah, the gospel. It's going to be like, we're here. We are here. We're in heaven because of what Christ did. Nothing of us. And then he's going to explain, that didn't make sense to me. Why I went through that. Why this went on. It didn't make sense. He's wise. And so the wisdom of God ends in praise. But you know what doesn't end in praise? Philosophy. Philosophy is man-made. I've never heard about it. Maybe there is, but I've never heard about a hymn written to Plato's Dialogues. I've never heard. Just. But here we are. And here's Romans. And here's the gospel. And here's the good news. And we've got a doxology. Because he's worthy of praise. Isn't he good? He's so good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for the finished work of Calvary. Thank you that we can rest in Christ. I ask you, Lord, today would be the salvation of someone who never before knew you, but now wants to call you their Father based on the work of your Son. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It would be kind of sad if we went through the whole book of Romans and then we got to the fact that God gives the gospel and then we don't share the gospel. So please stay with me because the temptation will be we're early here and some of you are like, we're almost out of here. I can smell the turkey already. All right. But the gospel, the good news is this, and maybe you've never heard this, so please hear me. Everybody is a sinner. Everybody that's born. You don't have to teach your kid. I don't know if you've ever had that where you had to sit down and your kid, hey, just so you know, if you're ever in trouble, there's this thing, it's called lying. You didn't have to teach them that. They just naturally, even this kid, they're so cute. They're so, and they say a lie to you and you're like, they're already lying. Oh yeah, they're your kid, you know. So you don't have to teach somebody to sin because we're all born in sin. And here's the other truth. So that's Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then we get to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So because I sin, because we all sin, I get paid death. That's my salary. That's what I've earned. Christians pray. Because you may have heard this dozens of times and you're like, I know that. Pray. Somebody here may never have heard this. Pay death. But that verse doesn't end that way. It says, but the gift of God. I get a gift. We're going to have some gifts handed back and forth next month. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9. So, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm inviting you today. That's why we sing. That's why we're kind of happy about that. He saved us. He took our sin situation. We still mess up. We still sin. And he's forgiven us. He's doing a work. He's making us more like Jesus. He's chipping away all the parts that don't look like Jesus. Because he's into this relationship. So if you've never, by faith, taken that step, I'm encouraging you today to do that. That you'd bow your head, close your eyes, and you'd say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. And your word says that I've earned death. But then you gave a gift. It's the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm confessing right now that you're my Lord. You're my Savior. And I'm resting in you completely so I can have forgiveness of sin, that I can have a new life, and that I have a home in heaven promised to me because of what you did. I'm resting in that, Lord. And if you do that, that's what this is about. So that's why we sing songs of praise. Amen. Would you take your hymnal and stand with me and turn to hymn number 66. And would you sing with me this hymn?